Good morning, Marion. This is Pastor Craig, and this is not What's Happening Now, Marion. What's happening, Marion? I've got Scott and Matt here in the studio, and we're probably going to just be continuing some conversation and just sort of freewheeling it for the next 45 minutes.
That works for me. I think conversation's good.
Are you mic number two?
I think green is now five.
Green is now five.
I think green. Did we update the card? The index card that has been there for. I think we did update the card.
Yeah,
did we not?
That one works.
Yeah,
right?
two is now obsolete. Matt broke two a few Friday nights ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this says red is five.
Red is five. Is it turned upside down? Is that the problem? Or no, is it like?
No. The other side. Of
the other side.
Oh, the other side.
There we go.
There we go. Okay. We've got this high-tech studio.
Well, it's become part of WWPH lore now. We can't throw away that index card.
Yeah, this index card. That's the old studio. This is the... Well, and it carried over to this one, but this is now the new... All right.
Should we draw an X on that? I don't know what we should do.
And next Friday night, there will be a training session for all WGH Talk personnel.
The color-coded... And then people don't believe this is a purple mic, which it was at one point.
But that's what the sun does to you.
That's what the sun does to you. Yeah. But apparently we need a screwdriver here. Does anybody have a nail file or something? I don't know what's going on. We need a maintenance man to come in here.
And we need a maintenance man to get us a sign for right outside our door.
We do have to get a sign. Yes. The reason for that was they have sign holders here, but the answer never really came back on where you get those signs made for those holders. So that was the holdoff. But I think at this point, apparently that answer is not going to come back. So we're just going to have to go with our own sign, which is fine.
Now, Scott, I don't want to steal your thunder, because I don't know what we're talking about on the 12 o'clock hour, so I don't want to steal any of your thunder, but that was a very interesting interview you had with Ray Grogan yesterday.
Oh, yes, I had not planned it. We can talk about that here.
Okay.
Yeah, so what about that interview in your mind? I think I know, but hit a chord.
Well, there were a couple things, but...
Marion County Prosecutor.
Yes.
Yeah.
What I found interesting is you had conversations about some of the different judges around Marion here.
We certainly did.
And there was one judge who's running for re-election, and his and Ray Grogan's comments were kind of guarded. And
you noticed that?
Yes, they were very guarded, yet polite. And then a little bit later, you were talking about another one of the judges here, and he couldn't say enough good things about her.
Well, there's a connection there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't, and I figure I'm probably missing something somewhere.
Well,
I don't know if this is something we're going to discuss on the radio.
Okay, here's what I believe in life. How do I say this? It's a very confusing thing, in a way. This is going to be convoluted, but this is the way it's going to come out. Okay. I don't believe it's my job to make somebody's announcement. If it is not done, I don't think I should say it. And in that particular case, as of yesterday morning, because we had booked that interview earlier in the week, I think on Monday we booked the interview, I thought we would have heard something by Thursday morning. We still haven't heard anything. But they have until the 18th. So that's fine. It just hasn't happened yet. Now, do I know what Ray is going to say? Did I give him questions? No. But I will tell you the connection there is that when I'm asking about the one judge, and again, without saying their name, although you can listen to the interview if you want. When I'm asking about the one judge, if he seemed guarded, that was probably because there's a connection to this issue which has not come to the forefront yet. That same, very same issue is connected to the other judge. The very same issue could very well be connected to him, Ray Grogan. So, that sounds all very cryptic and convoluted, but once we're able to talk about it, which we're still not able to, you'll understand what it is.
Okay. All right.
But no, it was not. by coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah. But he didn't want to say it either, clearly. So I wasn't going to say it. You know, it wasn't my job.
So what other high point did you find interesting in your interview with him yesterday?
Oh, it was the city. It was the city, which he's not even involved with because he's the county prosecutor. But I knew this, but it was, again, one of those things I did not think it was my place to report because it had not been public yet. But I knew, I don't think Matt was at that meeting. Maybe he was. I don't remember. But were you at the meeting when Miranda McGinnis, the city auditor, stood up and I don't want to accuse her of this, but it sounded like she admitted to a misappropriation of funds.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So that happened. Now, I was aware that that had been turned over to other people, but I was not aware where it had gone. And late last week, early this week, I found out that it had been investigated and had been turned over to the county prosecutor. Now, the person who told me all this basically said, we don't think it's going anywhere because we don't think the county prosecutor is going to do anything about it. So I asked him about it, and he said, it's still under investigation, and you're going to hear something in the next 30 days. And I even said, for all those people who think it isn't going anywhere just because she's an independent appointed by the Republicans and you're a Republican, is that so? And he basically said, for people who say that, if my mother committed a crime, I'd indict her.
Oh, he said if his mother committed a felony.
Committed a felony. Ah, he well, said, there you go.
Which I took it to mean, like what you just said. And so that's why.
So, but I did also say, will we know the answer in the next 30 days? And he said, absolutely, yes. So it's not over. And he certainly is saying, if there's a crime there, we'll do something about it.
Right. And really, that was about all he could say, which.
Yeah, which he explained as the prosecutor.
Because it's obviously still an open situation.
Yeah. So I guess that was a bombshell if you're paying attention to what's going on in the city. Only here.
Because it had actually gotten kind of quiet. Yeah. I mean, there was even, you know, a couple weeks ago, I even asked you, you know, off air, had you heard anymore? Because it had gotten, the whole auditor situation had gotten real quiet.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, man, it was huge for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, just nothing.
I had an inkling that something was going on, but I did not know it was that until last week. You know, that it had gotten to that point. And I certainly didn't know it had been turned over to the county prosecutor. And Ray did not know I was going to ask that, by the way. So kudos to him for taking the question.
Yeah. Now, on a similar topic, it involves Ray. The dancing.
Oh, yes.
The women's club.
Oh, yes.
So you and Carrington were there for that.
We were.
And
apparently this is a lot of talk that Carrington and I were there for this together.
Well, you know.
You know.
Yeah,
it's one of those things.
It's perfect for the rumor mill.
I love a good rumor. Yeah, that's
it,
right.
I mean, you think about it. It is perfect for the rumor mill.
You know what? I knew that was going to happen. Right. I mean, how can it not?
Right.
I mean, you take a girl to essentially a dressy occasion. It's just you and her. Mm-hmm. I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's okay. I've been a part of worse rumors.
So overall, you know, obviously, our Linda Sims won for the female.
Happy night.
And Ray Grogan won for the male. Overall, were you impressed with?
No, Ray did not win.
Oh, I thought he won.
No. We don't want to give Ray those accolades. Ray did not win. No.
I'm so sorry. I thought he had won for the male.
Somebody else did.
Okay. But overall, were you impressed with the dancing?
You know, on the whole, yes. The young Dr. Finney, I thought, did very well. Certainly Linda, and I'm not just saying, clearly, a lot of people felt Linda did very well. I thought Ray did well. He was the first one up. I thought he did a great job. I'm trying to think if anybody really bombed out, in my opinion. I can't think of anybody, so I guess that's a good sign.
Well, okay.
And I would be honest. Yeah. There was one. And honestly, I'm not just saying this to be phony, because I'll tell you exactly what the dance was. I remember that part of it, but I thought it was a horrible dance. It was the only person to do it to a slow song. And it was, what was the name of it? It was a Britney Spears song, I can tell you that. But it was very slow, and it was very, it was a female, and I just thought, this is going nowhere. And then at one point, the man who was the professional dancer had to pick her up, and his arms were shaking, And I thought, oh, this is bad. And she was not a, you know, a, she wasn't 200 pounds, let's put it that way. So, you know, but she wasn't 100 pounds either. People are not going to like, I, you know, how do you get out of it? You wanted to know how the dances went, that's how they went.
So, Matt, are you sorry you missed the event?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. It sounds like it was fun overall, but, I mean, at the same time,
you had to dress up.
Oh, yeah, I would have had to buy a whole tuxedo.
Well, you never wore a tuxedo. It wasn't that far.
Oh, right.
But you had to wear
I would have had to buy a suit.
You had to buy a sports coat, not jeans, that sort of thing.
At that point, I'd just buy a whole suit.
Oh, I thought you were going to say at that point, you just wouldn't go.
No.
I don't know. You know, I think it was fun. And as I said, and this goes back to the whole conversation we were having last week with Carrington. Obviously, there's a little bit of an age difference between Carrington and I. We had a great time. Just had a great time. Could not have had a better time with anybody else. It was just fun.
Well, I listened to the two of you had done some reports from there in between, and it sounded like you were having a good time. It sounded like she was comfortable.
Oh, absolutely.
She was very comfortable on the microphone.
Oh, she was absolutely comfortable. She held the mic.
Yeah,
I mean, she's the one who had the microphone in her purse, because where am I going to put the microphone at that? I can't put it in my wallet at that point. So she had the microphone in her purse. I mean, we rode over there together. I picked her up. You know, I haven't picked anybody up at their house for years. I felt like I was back in high school. I picked her up. We drove over to the thing. You know, she put the mic in her purse. You know, there you go. It was a thing.
So did you have that first date? Like, do I kiss her? Do I don't kiss her?
No. None of that came up. We didn't have that kind of conversation.
First date anxiety.
No, but I'll tell you what was strange. When I pulled up at her house, which I've been there before because of we went over for Christmas Eve. When I pulled up, she did not come out immediately. And I thought, there's no way I'm going up to that door. I'm not going up and knocking for her. It isn't going to happen. I'll sit out here until ice shows up. I'm not going to the door.
Did you have to honk the horn?
Or no. Okay. She eventually came out. Thank God.
So you just waited.
You want me to go up to the door?
I did.
Hey, Mrs. Nelson, is your daughter here? I'm not. No. No. It wasn't going to happen. I've aged out of going to the door for people. I don't care how old they are.
Hey, Mrs. Nelson, I'm here to pick up your daughter.
I'm here to pick up your daughter.
I know that's not a bouquet of flowers I'm hiding behind my back.
Does she have her dress on, and is she dressed formally at this particular point? No, but that's, you know, it was fun.
So all these events that have been happening recently, now you got the big thing coming up in April.
Go figure.
With Thunderbolt. Is there anything else on the horizon that we should know about?
Well, I do know that Thunderbolt, as he alluded to this morning in the interview, wants to come here from the Hall of Fame, which, boy, that's a boon for Marion, Ohio, to spend the week after his Hall of Fame induction in Marion with the eclipse going on.
Right.
So, you know, I can't confirm that that's all going to happen yet, but it certainly looks pretty good.
Because we're going to do something for the eclipse.
We certainly are. We certainly are. We've had ideas, but Matt explained to me the other day that the idea that I had may be illegal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it
don't say it.
Okay, well, I won't say it then.
Because we can talk about it off the air, but okay. I don't think it's illegal. I Googled it. I can see why people might not like it, but I don't see where it's illegal.
Maybe you should have asked Ray Grogan yesterday.
Maybe I should have.
Yeah,
same thing with the dog collar, you know. if somebody should press charges, will you back off?
And there has nothing ever come out of that dog collar reward.
No. And that bothers me. And people get tired of me talking about it, but I'm going to talk about it till it shows up or I die, one or the other.
I can't believe that. I mean, I believe that somebody, and probably more than one, has to know something.
Listen, there are things about this that are really bothersome to me. Number one, there's a $5,000 reward on the table. No questions asked. Number two, the prosecutor has said he's not going to prosecute you. Number three, the police chief has said there is going to be no charges pressed. Number four, it's only been gone 12 years at this point. Number five, nobody's ever talked about this. Even if it is destroyed, nobody ever said anything to anybody ever. I just, it doesn't make any sense.
Why would it be destroyed?
Well, that's what everybody always says. Oh, Scott, that thing's long gone. Well, that's what they said about Lady Justice, too.
Yeah, and I don't believe that.
And
I mean,
it took 30 years.
Whatever your reason was for taking it,
you wouldn't destroy it.
You wouldn't destroy it.
And it's the circumstances are odd. Nothing else was taken. It was on the second floor. You had to use a ladder. It was in the middle of the night. You left the ladder. You had to break a window. You could have stolen anything if you really wanted money. That would have been a lot less, especially something that didn't have the name engraved into it. Laddie boy, why not take something like a teapot you could sell?
You obviously, the person that took it had to know where it was located within the house. And they had to want it, that specific item, for a reason.
And not grab anything else with your other hand when you're going in the window.
Right. So, you know, it wasn't a burglary. It wasn't somebody looking for money, because you would have taken other things.
Which is why I say it wasn't sold or melted down, which was the big worry. And there wasn't that, it's not, wasn't a gold collar. It was gold plated.
Right.
You probably would have got $100.
Right.
You go through all that for $100.
And by now, the dog that you put that on has since died.
Yeah, the dog's gone. Dog doesn't care. I believe it's still here in Marion. I believe that the person knows. I just think they're skeptical.
And the other thing is, I believe that more than one person has to know something.
Has to.
I mean, you don't do that. Take something like that and not tell anybody.
Never tell anybody.
Somebody
What's the
has
point?
To know.
Right. Right. What's the point to do it if you never told anybody?
Yeah. Keep things interesting, I guess.
For 12 years?
Yeah, sure, why not?
What was the point to begin with? I mean, you could have been caught. Busiest street in Marion, middle of the night, historic home, had to use a ladder, had to break a window.
You had to know they didn't have an alarm system.
Had to know they didn't have an alarm system. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
And only take that.
I've never took a tour of the Harding home, and I don't know what's all in there, but maybe they thought that the collar would be worth more.
To who, though?
I mean, I'm sure like a collector kind of
thing. Yeah, but you try to sell that after being burglarized, people weren't going to know?
I mean, 12 years later,
Well, 12 years later, maybe, but not at the time.
Somebody who knew, had as much information as where it was, how to get it, no alarms, all that kind of stuff, had to know, if I'm stealing it to sell it, where am I going to sell it? I mean, it's such an unusual item that everybody's going to know it's a stolen item.
And you're going to wait 12 years to sell it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to steal something like I don't want to call it like a historical artifact. That sounds a little...
It is.
It's a historical artifact.
Okay, but...
I don't think you... This was one of the most popular items at the home because people like animals. The dog was very... Everybody knew about the dog. And it really was something that school kids, when they would tour, wanted to see. That's why it's very odd that you would take that. Yeah. You could have taken a piece of china. You could have taken a plate. You could have taken Florence's brush. Nobody would have cared.
The things that you... I mean, I don't know. Florence's brush, maybe. Is it the actual... Is it Florence's actual brush?
I'm sure it is.
Well, you might be able to get some money from that. But like in terms of, like... I mean, I don't know. Because now it sounds to me like there's even more of a reason to steal a dog collar. Because you guys just made it sound like it was the prime or like attraction of the Harding home
at
the time.
It was a popular
one.
I mean, so like if I was going to break into the Harding home, I think I'd take something that was pretty popular too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that's harder to sell because it's got the name on it. But it's got the name on it.
The name right on it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you take a clock that is very expensive? Nobody didn't have Harding's name engraved in the clock.
Well, because, I mean, I don't know.
Makes no sense.
There got to be some reason. I think
it certainly isn't worth $5,000.
No.
I'd be surprised if it was worth $100, like I said.
I mean, if you just took it into a jewelry shop that buys used jewelry and buys and sells, I mean, they might offer you $10 for it.
It's a gold plate.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Big as a dog collar.
So it has no value except the value of a historical artifact.
And you can't sell it like that or they'd arrest you.
Right. Right.
I mean, you could sell it like that. The black market's always a thing.
But again, the person who buys it, what are they going to do? Display it?
Right.
Can't. They're going to say, hey, wait a minute, that was stolen 12 years ago.
People buy stolen things all the time and display
them. How are you going to find that one collector that knows what it is, that wants it for what it is, and is willing to buy it from you illegally? I mean, it's not like, I mean, how are you going to find that person?
I mean, the world is almost 8 billion people at this point. Tell me 8 billion people and at least one of them isn't going to want that dog collar?
So this is something logically that you would do. You would risk going to prison.
I mean, if I was going to break into the Harding home, I wouldn't take just a dog collar. I would have taken more than just the dog collar.
Do you know where the Harding home is?
I mean, I think if I was going to break
Do you know where it is?
Yeah.
Okay, on a summer night in July, kids not in school, possibly bikes going up and down the street, busiest road in Marion, Route 95, big sign out front that says Harding Home. In the middle of the night, you're going to put a ladder on the side of the building. Pull up. Where'd you get the ladder from? You're going to pull a ladder out of your car, place it on the Harding Home. Now, there are houses across the street, by the way. Put a ladder on the side of the house, climb up the ladder, smash a window, reach your hand in, grab a dog collar, climb back down the ladder, get in your car, because you had to have a car, or how else did you get that ladder there, drive away, and risk that nobody saw a thing.
I mean, alternatively, it could have just been somebody who lived across the street. They just grabbed the ladder, walked it across
the street.
But again,
there were several houses.
Yeah, but like, I mean, it only takes one person to rob a house.
But you wouldn't hear the window being smashed in the middle of the night?
Apparently they didn't, so no.
But how would you know that beforehand?
You aren't going to know that.
And how would you know there's not an alarm on that? We all thought there would have been an alarm.
So it was somebody who had to know.
I mean, I don't know about all that.
Okay, well, why don't you go try to burglarize the place tonight, and then tomorrow we'll come visit you in prison and ask you how that went.
I mean, I think that, like, I also would have thought they would have security systems, but, like, I mean...
Right, had to be an inside job, or somebody who had first-hand knowledge.
I don't think...
They had to have first-hand knowledge.
I mean, it would have been super simple. Like, I mean, I don't know how much a tour of the house...
Simple?
Yeah, I mean the plan sounds pretty simple to me.
You tell me how you do this in a quick, covert fashion.
Okay.
So in July, on Route 95, on a house that has a big sign out front that says Harding Home, residential homes right across the street.
Well, if I was going in there specifically for the dog collar, which assumes that they were, I would, one, probably take a tour of the house so I could find out where the dog collar
would
be.
That probably happened.
And then I would wait until, like, 3-4 of them, you know.
Okay.
Pretty. I don't know. I'd probably wait until like 2 or 3, because once it gets 4, people start moving around.
The biggest thing is, though, are you gonna assume that they don't have any kind of alarm system?
How are you gonna know that?
I mean, I wouldn't assume that they didn't have an alarm system, but like,
if you're just gonna risk it.
You're gonna assume that they probably do.
If I was gonna do it anyways, yeah. I mean, I might as well. I could. Why won't it turn off?
The Harding Home is calling.
Yeah, they are.
They heard.
You're suspect number one now.
But, man, what was I saying? Sorry, my alarm got me all kinds of messed up now.
I want to hear your plan for burglarizing.
Oh, right,
this.
Now,
take me from beginning to end.
All right, so I'd take a tour and be like, man, that dog collar looked pretty cool.
Okay.
And then I'd probably wait until around 2:30 or 3, because,
okay.
I mean, there's...
Less people.
Yeah, less people.
Okay.
And then, apparently I got a... So, they use the ladder.
How are you getting that there?
You could put it on top of a car.
Okay,
but
you're just going to drive that car down the street. Drive the truck down the street in the middle of the night, not cause any disturbance.
I mean,
with a ladder on top.
Cars drive down the middle of the street all night, you know.
They don't pull into the Harding home, but go ahead.
What if they didn't? What if they just parked off to the side of the road?
Okay, off the side of the road. At some point, you got to get that ladder off the truck and put it on the house.
I mean, it doesn't sound all too hard of a heist. The hardest part would just be assuming that they didn't have security.
When you smash that window.
I mean, also, if they took a tour of the home, they probably, I don't know that they thought that they didn't have any security, but they probably thought that, I mean, worst comes to worst, they had an alarm.
Okay,
but
let's say
if you took a tour of the home, you would see that there's no cameras.
Well, okay, let's pretend you don't have...
There might be cameras.
Let's pretend you're not... You're risking that moment at 3 o'clock in the morning when you smash that window? Even if you know they don't have security?
That 16 dogs in the surrounding neighborhood aren't going to start barking?
Or there are people at 3 o'clock in the morning driving down Mount Vernon Avenue.
Right. And it's July, so they probably have their windows rolled down.
And there are houses 20 feet across, literally, from where you are.
I would have parked in When was the Harding Museum built, actually?
It wasn't there then.
See, I didn't think so, because I...
So
I,
even houses behind you now.
I don't think there were...
Residential houses.
Were there houses back there?
Yes. Those were residential houses. They had to buy them when they decided to do that. So this time, there were even houses behind you.
I mean, it just... I mean, people's houses get broken into all the time. I don't know why this one would be any different.
It's a museum.
Yeah, but, like, it's a house.
So you think breaking into a house is the same thing as breaking into a museum?
I think that breaking into a museum that is in a house is basically the same thing as breaking into a house.
The only difference is
that it's just a museum. It's what you're doing with the house.
I would...
Well, go do it tonight.
No.
Well, come on. Show us how it's done.
I'm not a career criminal. I don't have any interest.
If I was a person who broke into places, the last thing on my list would be a museum. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe I'm, you know, if I was breaking into houses on a regular basis, that's one thing. But the last thing, because you don't look at that as a house. You look at that as a museum. You look at that as, you know, something that's probably got cameras. It's probably got alarms. It's probably got everything under lock and key, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And what about just the fact of how many times do police officers drive up and down Mount Vernon Avenue just because it is the busiest street in
Maryland? Every time I'm driving on it, I seem to see one.
It doesn't sound all too hard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, just go on the, here's all you need to do. Go over to the Harding home tonight at 3:00 in the morning and shatter a piece of glass in the driveway. And see if you can get away with that.
Shatter a piece. I'll go over there with, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, I'll go buy, like, one of the glass Fanta bottles and, like, just spike it at the ground and then leave. I don't know.
And as the cops are putting the handcuffs on, you say, really, this is a piece of glass? I was just testing something.
I was on the property. They gave me permission.
Yeah. And I didn't live in Marion 12 years ago. You'll want to add that to
Well, 12 years ago, I was 8 years old. Are you really like an 8-year-old mastermind going to break in there and steal it?
But regardless, why do you want to keep this thing now? 12 years. The prosecutor said no. The police officer has said no. The $5,000 is there. Why wouldn't you want to do it?
There's nothing to gain by keeping it and keeping quiet about
it. And you could even be a folk hero at this point, because literally under the terms we're under, you could say, I am the person who stole it.
Right. Right. You wouldn't have to say, I got it from the person who stole it. You could say, I am the person
who
stole
it. There's nothing preventing that right now. Yeah. And you still get $5,000, cross and go.
Yeah. And the Harding home... Well, thank you for showing them that they needed to tighten their security.
Well, the Harding home hasn't helped us in this matter, to be perfectly honest. Now, this goes to show you, and I hate to say this, because you know what? I'm okay with the Harding home. But I do know somebody who went on the... Well, let's put it this way. The person who put up the money, who is anonymous, and I will take that to the grave because they said that was one of the conditions for the money was it had to be anonymous.
It's even not in your book.
That's not in the book. I have to leave that part out. You keep confidential sources. I'm like Woodward and Bernstein.
Give away the confidential informants.
The Harding home didn't. Well, this will just tell you the mentality of the Harding home. Now, the person at the Harding home who I believe, I don't want to say, let's just say the person giving the tour, but I believe it was the curator herself, but the person giving the tour. The person who put up the money was on the tour and said to the person, hey, what about this reward for the dog collar that I heard about with the radio station? And now this is the person who put up the money. The person at the Harding home said, oh, that's all a lie. Well, she knows it's not a lie because she put up the money. And I've said it's a woman, so that's no doubt.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, good job, Harding home.
Well, I mean...
Made yourself look more ridiculous than... Oh, man.
Hey, I got one for you.
I don't know why the Harding home... Well, I mean, I don't know what the Harding home stands to gain from doing that.
That's the truth. When the person came up and told me that they did that, I thought, wow, good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, they've never called me and asked me where the money is or the justification, and it's been... And clearly they know about it.
Right.
So, yeah, there you go.
It's rather interesting that they don't seem to have any interest in knowing what...
Maybe they took it.
Oh, also, yeah, maybe they just, like, it was just a setup.
Well, speaking of all of this, you know, the Harding Presidential Museum and Library, it sits right behind that. Now, it clearly states Harding Presidential Museum and Presidential Library. So I've,
are there any books in there?
Well, I took a tour of the museum. So after I took my tour of the museum, you know, because I've been to every room they have there. So I went back out to the front desk and thanked them and thought it was nice and said, now where is the presidential library that you have, you know, because it says on your building, museum and presidential library. And the woman said, well, we don't have it right now.
Oh.
It's a wing that they're eventually going to build onto the museum.
So is it just a museum right now?
It's just a museum.
There's not even a room for the library.
No, it's a wing that's going to be added later. And so I said, oh, well, where are all the papers? Because generally the presidential library includes, it's more papers than books, you know, documents and things like that. And she said, oh, well, all those papers that are going to be in the library are down at the Ohio Historical Center. They're storing it for us.
You know, there's a whole weird vibe over there. At that. If I could tell you stories and stories and stories about the Harding home, they refer to, and by they I'm talking, it's the curator, and it's the truth. She refers to him as Warren G., like she knew him. It's a very weird vibe over there. And they are very defensive, even though it's been proven that he did have affairs. Clearly, at least two that we know of, and one that spawned a child. They're still very defensive about that. I know how they've treated Jim Blessing. I don't think he has a reason to lie. That's a very negative vibe. I don't understand. I just don't understand them over there. I mean, things they've done over the years have been very peculiar to me.
And yet, all those people that are running that, the house and everything, I mean, none of them have any family connection at all. I mean, even from extended family, they don't have any. Yeah.
Nope. And I'll tell you, when Jim Blessing shows up, they're going to find out. I wouldn't want to be there that day.
Is he planning on showing up?
I think he will one day. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, that's your grandfather. Blood, grandfather. No. Removed.
Yeah, it's not like there's serious questions about whether that's true or not.
Tell him how you feel.
Yeah. You know, and this, I don't know. I think this may spill over into part of the reason why we don't have a Harding statue here in Marion. There just seems to be an overall, I don't know what it is, a somewhat embarrassment about Harding or not wanting to fully embrace him or something?
I'll tell you a story. Now, this is just as I have this story. Now, this will tell you the mentality of the Harding home for whatever reason. Okay, and this makes me think of it because we were just at the Women's Club, which is the old Barlow home here in Marion. Now, the reason the Barlow home has some significance is the Barlows were friends with the Hardings. That's why that was a very well-to-do place, big home, so on and so forth. Okay. For years and years and years, I mean, from, well, the 20s, probably 100, close to 100 years, nobody ever paid attention, but there was a piano at the Barlow home that said this was Warren Harding's piano that he used in the White House because he died while he was in the White House. Now, if you go back in the Marion Star Archives, let me start here. When they were building the Harding museum, they decided they wanted this piano because they knew some people knew it was there. Had a gold plate on it that said, you know, this is the piano that President Harding had in the White House. It was in the Barlow home. The Harding home came and said, listen, you need to give us that piano. Even though you've stored it for nearly 100 years, all you were doing was storing it for us because we had no place to put it. So you must give it back. And the Women's Club didn't want to cause a kerfluffle, so they did give it back to them. Okay, well, come to find out, anybody can do this. Go to the Marion Star Archives, which you can look at either the Historical Society or the Public Library. Search Harding Piano, and you're going to find an article from the 1920s in which Harding gave the piano to the women's club. Well, the Barlows, I should say. So they were never storing it. It was never in the possession of the Harding home. That was never a thing. So by all rights, the women's club did have possession of that piano. But the Harding home lied, didn't do any research, and the women's club gave it to him. Now, would they have probably given it to him anyway? Probably. But why lie? Why not do a little bit of research? How hard was that to do?
I think it was just kind of one of those things where they really wanted the piano, and they're like, look, we gotta have...
So
like,
just lie?
Yeah, we gotta have this rock-solid case as to why we...
Well, one rock-solid. One rock-solid at all. As a matter of fact, if the women's club wanted to press it, they still could.
I mean, yeah, but, like, I mean, it was more of like a... I don't think they thought people would look into it, really, and I think it was more of just like a...
Maybe they had looked into it and realized it did not prove their case.
And I think what it really points to is a whole certain mentality or attitude that is going on.
Why do that?
Why do what?
Why make up a story?
Even if you don't know
that they were, it was given to the Barlows, why make up a story that you know is not true, or you have no justification that, oh, you're just storing that for us?
I mean, because obviously...
I mean, they wanted the piano.
Yeah, but... Also, it's okay to lie if you really want something.
Okay, so they wanted the piano. But they weren't alive when that piano was given. So they really don't know the circumstances of how that piano ended up there unless they've looked into it. So once they've looked into it, if they find out how it really got there, I mean, wouldn't a normal, say, person of... you know, integrity, wouldn't they say, hey, look, we would like to have that piano in the museum. You know, is there any way we can work out a deal with you so that we can have it there?
That's it.
I mean, you could stick it in the museum and you could even put a little plate on the piano that says, you know, donated by Marion's Women's Club or donated by the owners of the Barlow House or whatever. You could actually capitalize on another place doing their part to bring it back to the museum. I mean, am I wrong?
I see it that way.
I think that they just wanted the piano.
Again, so lying is okay,
but
if...
But that's okay. This is coming from the guy who's devising a plan how to break in and get the dog
collar. If you want to do it.
I didn't say that it was the right way to go about things. I think they just wanted the piano and said, Harding's piano belongs at the Harding Museum, so therefore they just wrote this letter which made it seem that way. It's kind of like having, like, it's kind of like when countries go to war with each other over, like, territorial claims.
You know, you can look at it and you can say, that really should belong here at the museum.
That's an opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they presented it as fact.
Right.
We gave it to you to store because we didn't have the room. Now we want it back. Well, that's not true.
And they really had to know that was not true.
No, of course. There was no paperwork on that. This is a whole other Eber Baker thing. Oh, we moved his body years ago over to the Marion Cemetery. Where's the paperwork on that? Yeah. You got none.
So do you think he got moved?
No. No, until somebody... And listen, if the paperwork ever comes through that I'm wrong about that, I'll be the first to admit it. But you know what? All these years later... And I've called the Marion Cemetery, so they aren't going to produce paperwork out of their rear end all of a sudden. They have said, yes, his marker's here, but there is nothing in our files about any body ever being moved here. And the Marion Cemetery was open when the marker was transferred. And nothing in the newspaper either, by the way. You think that wouldn't have been a story? You're exhuming the body of the founder of Marion and putting it in a new place? You think that wouldn't have been a small article somewhere in the newspaper?
Well, I kind of think we know the history of the newspaper failing to do its job around.
But not in those days.
Well, that's
true. In those days, they actually wrote. They had a staff.
They were still locally owned.
They were this would have been back in the... I'm not even sure when they claim he was moved, to be honest with you. I have no idea. But I don't even know how you could do it. Back in Eber Baker's days, when he died, people were not embalmed. They were in glass coffins. There was a cholera epidemic going on. The cemetery had already been trashed. How would you even know the body you're pulling out was his?
This is true.
No,
it just sounded bad that the founder of Marion, whose schools were named after at that point, was in a cemetery that was dilapidated and people were pushing over the stones and people were parking on. So somebody divulged this crazy story to where we're going to move the body over here.
And make everybody happy.
And make everybody happy. And now there is, if you walk through the Marion Cemetery, there is an Eber Baker tombstone.
But nobody knows where he is.
Nope. I'm guessing still over on Quarry Street.
Probably.
With his family, by the way. It never says they took his family. Family's still over there. We'll leave you guys.
Did they move anybody else, or was it
No.
supposedly him?
Just him. And one of the reasons the cholera epidemic was going on, and people thought that, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be digging in a cemetery where Civil War veterans are buried and so on and so forth. So how they would get him out of there, I have no idea. And nobody has any, by the way, the Historical Society, the cemetery, Marion Cemetery, nobody has the layout of the Quarry Street Cemetery. So how could you have moved him? There was no Historical Society back then. Our Historical Society didn't come about till the late 60s.
Right.
And the Marion Cemetery doesn't have the layout to Quarry Street Cemetery, so how would you have even known what plot he was in?
Right. Did they not do, like, headstones?
Well, yeah, they had headstones, but they were knocked over.
Yeah. And they didn't keep good records back in those days as far as, you know, these are all the lots and these are who's buried in the lots. And, you know, they didn't keep good records.
And like I say, it would have been wooden box he would have been buried in. He would not have been embalmed. It would have been just skin and bones. How would you know it was him?
I mean, I don't know. They exhume a lot of people who I don't know how they know it's them.
Not in that era. You could not exhume a body from the 1800s, who had died in the 1800s.
I mean, there are, like, for instance, like, in a museum somewhere, I don't know, there's this outfit that was worn by George Washington. Like, it's supposedly owned by George Washington. Now, how do we know that that was owned by George Washington? That was, you know, literally the 1700s.
Well, if it came from his family and it was passed down that way, I don't know why that would be so hard. There are things in England far older than that. We're a young country.
Yeah, I mean, Upper Arlington, they built a school. This was many years ago. I don't know when exactly it was, but it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. They were going to build this school on top of a cemetery. So they went to painstaking efforts to move everybody from the cemetery to another place. They built this school. Guess what? A couple years ago, they wanted to tear it down and build a new school. And in the process of digging up the parking lot of that school, guess what they found? More bodies. The only reason I know this is because we had a portable toilet down there for 3 months while the professionals came in to make sure that they located every person and moved them before they did any more work on this. So when you have a big effort to do it right, and then 30 years later you didn't do it right, there's more there. How do you really think they're going to be sure that they just dug up this one guy, Eber Baker, and they found him and they took him off? And, you know, I mean,
this is why I am a stickler about history, because a lot of people like to talk history, but they don't have any notes. They've done no research, and they just, and a lot of it's from their mind of things they've heard or things they remember. Well, if it was even 10 years ago, if you asked me about specifics of any event, I might think I have them, but nobody has most of us don't have photographic memories. I could have a little dust on a story. There's no doubt about it. Now, it's why I don't like that. People mislead very often. I've told the story before, and I don't want to because the person's now went on to their reward. But, you know, it was about the Pancake Day, and maybe it's fresh in my mind because the Pancake Day was last Saturday. We had somebody on the radio talking about the anniversary of Pancake Day. I think at that time it was the 50th anniversary. It was just the 60th. No, it would have been maybe the 60th anniversary is probably what it was. It was the 60th anniversary of Pancake Day. So if Pancake Day, if this was 65, if this one was the 65th, what year would it have started?
If this one was the 65th.
2024 was the 65th.
Like, man.
1960. Like okay. 1960. 1960 or 59. Well, yeah, we could give it leeway there.
Well, 60 would have been the first.
Right.
So 61 would have been the second. So this being 24, it would be the 65th.
So the person gets on the air during the 60th and starts telling a story how they were there at the first, and age-wise, they could have been. They were there at the first pancake breakfast 60 years ago, and Hattie McDaniel came in, famous Oscar-winning actress, dressed as Aunt Jemima, and was there as a spokesperson for Aunt Jemima syrup, and was telling this story in great detail about how they talked to Aunt Jemima, who was Hattie McDaniel, this Oscar-winning actress, blah, 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 blah. And I get to thinking, why would even in those days when there were racial barriers, why would the first Oscar-winning actress be touring the country dressed as Aunt Jemima? That's strange. So I looked up, all I had to do was type in the name Hattie McDaniel, and you know the first thing I learned? She died before the first Pancake Day.
There you go.
There you go. And I pointed it out to the person who was on the air at that time. I don't think they liked it, but... And I don't think they were trying to mislead people. Right. I think that's how they remembered it, but it couldn't have been true.
You know, that's something we should talk about sometime, because we've only got a minute left here, but it's interesting how people remember things. And when they talk about it, and they talk about it for years and years... And quite often, it's really not the way it happened.
Well, and in the final minute here, what was odd about that was I didn't have to search, was Hattie McDaniel Aunt Jemima? I didn't have to search, was she ever in Marion, Ohio? I didn't have to search. All I had to do, the woman was dead before the first one happened.
That kind of answers it.
Yeah, you could have just Googled that before you told that story.
Well, thank you, Scott, and thank you, Matt, for sticking around. We're going to be taking a short break here in just a second, and then we'll be back with the Exchange Club. We'll be back, myself and Matt and Scott, and then I will be back at 1 o'clock with Study His Words. So you don't want to go anywhere. Just grab yourself something to drink and maybe a quick sandwich and join us back here in about 15 minutes. This is Pastor Craig saying I will see you in about 15 minutes.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps.